Hi, cabin friends. So today I'm going to be sharing on you hold the keys to your breakthrough. Now, the other day I was sitting outside in the garden with Jordan and we were just having a little chat. And I began sharing some stories and some testimonies of things that God had done in my life, and he was doing the same. And we were just sharing about different times when we'd really seen the Lord do exceptional things. And I actually shared about seeing the Lord grow new skin right before my eyes. And he did this twice in the space of 2 days. And then I witnessed the tangible, awesome glory of God, like it manifested before our eyes. It was, quite incredible. But I noticed as I spoke of these things, you could really feel the presence of God just building up and brooding over us. And I realized that it is so important to keep these precious testimonies that give glory to God on our lips and to be ever ready to share of his goodness. And it's something I really have kind of become a little slack in recently. So I'm going to be doing a podcast in the future on sharing these testimonies, sharing a lot of these stories that maybe I haven't been so forward in sharing in the past. So look out for that one, because I've got to practice what I preach, and I've mentioned it to you now, so that will be on its way. So there is a real importance in keeping these memories of what the Lord has done on our lips, and the Israelites were told to remember the Lord and how he brought them out of Egypt, how he delivered them from their enemies, and also to build altars of remembrance to him. And if it was important then, well, it's still important now, right? You see, when the Israelites were going into battle, proclaiming and praising the name of God, at the forefront of their minds was how the Lord was going before them and how he was with them. At the forefront of their thinking was that the battle belongs to the Lord. I realize that often when we are facing our own spiritual battles and challenges, obviously not as major as fighting an army of bloodthirsty giants, but something we're probably all guilty of when facing these challenges is either being consumed in the ever-present problem before us by, you know, worrying ourselves silly with the looming what-ifs, or by trying desperately to ignore that nagging inner voice reminding us of our own past failings. Of course, that voice is not Holy Spirit. And this buildup of anxiety and fear just paralyzes faith. Now, there is comfort in knowing that we can turn to the Lord in the midst of our anxieties. Just as King David said in Psalm 94, verse 18 to 19, "If I say my foot is slipping, your loving devotion, O Lord, supports me. When anxiety overwhelms me, your consolation delights my soul." So there may well be occasional times when anxieties overtake us, but this should not be a normal occurrence. In his goodness, Father Yahweh is there with us. After all, he is Yahweh Shalom. He is our God and our peace. And as we take hold of that truth and stand in it, then faith is activated, because we have that trust in his unfailing ability, and peace gives us respite, so that we can better hear his voice and his direction and then move forward with the solution. It's in his mercy that he meets with us as Yahweh Shalom. You see, there's even more to overcoming adversity and challenges than simply beating an anxiety monkey off of our back and fleeing to the Lord. Although that does work and is something we should practice. I don't want a monkey of any kind on my back. In fact, I don't want a monkey anywhere near me. Thank you very much. We may find that, you know, in the day-to-day, in our family or work life, be that school runs or homeschooling or laundry or housework, mealtimes, in the day-to-day running of your business or of staff management, things can get busy just in the mundane day-to-day life. It can be so easy in those times to get caught up in the task-oriented present tense. The immediate to-do lists, those things that are demanding our attention right there, right now. And it, often we just get used to just functioning in that flow, like on our little hamster wheel. You know, someday it may feel like the tasks are just looming and mounting up like a tidal wave in front of you. And time management held and just led by Holy Spirit is a major bonus. Also, remembering Shabbat and calling it holy. Shabbat is the Sabbath. It's of taking that seventh day and having it as a set apart time just to be with Him, to get recharged, to go deep and enjoy family time. The importance of taking a Shabbat day of rest and joy with the Lord is, oh, it's so wonderful. But that's another teaching in itself. I'm not going to go there right now. But trust me, you don't want to miss out on that. For your own sanity and your family's, it truly is a gift from Abba. It's a joy. It's a delight. But yeah, back to the day-to-day though. Whether you're sat behind a desk full-time or if you're working with blisters on your hands in physical work, it can be easy to get absorbed in those present challenges and future problems and forget all the victories that you have already walked through. This might sound silly, but you would be surprised. I challenged myself this week as the amount of mental capacity that was being taken up with dealing with the present tasks far outweighed the amount of time that I was meditating on all those miraculous things, those signs and wonders and the healings that I'd seen Him perform in and through my life and around me. You know, it actually took a bit of a mini crisis to wake me up to this. I had an important appointment that I needed to get to. But on the morning of that appointment, a close family member was really not well. And it was quite a concern for us due to other medical issues. So we discerned that there was some gnarly stuff going on in the spirit too. So we prayed. We also called the ambulance just to be on the safe side as we were waiting for the ambulance guys, trying to direct them to the property and stuff. I was also trying to sort out the logistics of me getting to my appointment and organising the children. One needed to go to playgroup and the other needed to be looked after. And Jordan and I only had one car, as, of course, the MOT, which is a test, which by law, all cars have to have this, you know, in order to be roadworthy. So our MOT test had happened to run out that day. And I could just feel my frustration levels going up. And the funny thing is that because we'd prayed, I had complete peace about my family member. And I knew that, you know, God was in that. We knew that the Lord was with this person and that they would be fine. But what was stressing me out was that I wasn't able to handle all the other stuff in my own strength. Once we'd dealt with the ambulance guys, they'd taken my family member to the hospital, packed their overnight bag, all the rest of it. I sorted the children and then jumped in the car at 10 past 10 to get to my appointment, which was 25 to 30 minutes drive away. Then I remembered that actually the gas tank was on reserve and I wasn't sure if I would have enough gas to get to my appointment. Isn't this always the way? So I left the house super late, a little stressed out, and just began to pray. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I just gave it all into Yeshua. I came to the end of myself and my worries and just realized, yep, I can't do this. So, and as I did that, I really felt His loving peace and assurance just come around me. It was like, it was fine. I just felt, it's in Your hands, Lord. Even if I'm super late to this appointment, even if the car runs out of gas, it's fine. But praise the Lord, I found this local little tiny gas station, which was ridiculously expensive. And I just put some petrol in the tank. £10.10, because I went a little bit over. But 10:10, I chuckled because it just made me think of John 10:10, life and life to the full. I have come that you might have life and life in abundance. So I decided to meditate on that merry scripture as I headed off to my appointment. And somehow, get this, despite leaving the house at 10:10, another 10:10, my appointment was actually at 10:20. I don't know if I mentioned that. So yeah, the appointment was 25 to 30 minutes away. But would you believe it? I made it to the appointment on time. And no, I did not drive like Lewis Hamilton to get there. The Lord actually shifted me there in time. As I leant into that government of His peace, He caused everything else to come into alignment. So hallelujah, I rejoice at his works. But in the moment, in that morning when I was trying to get myself out of the door and organize all that stuff, I just was not remembering those past miracles or all those times of trans relocation or of petrol multiplying. Nope, I was stressing. So I realized and I felt convicted that, my goodness, you know, those were the that was when I really needed to remember the Lord and all of his works. So I realized that the key to my breakthrough had been in the belief that Jesus has been there for me before. He has led me through challenging times. He has performed those miracles of healing, of deliverance, and of time miracles. And this is the true reality to be living from, not the momentary troubles. You know, when the Israelites were led out of Egypt by Yahweh, they were instructed to remember all the works of the Lord. So to this day, when we celebrate Passover, which we celebrate every year, it's wonderful, we remember how he led us out of Egypt. We remember it like it's an ever-present now reality, because the power and the faithfulness that God demonstrated then, he demonstrates now for each of us. So he demonstrates that as we depart from those bondages of slavery and idolatry. Did you know that the word Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and it means boundaries and constrictions? Yikes. Yetziat Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt. So for us to go out of Egypt is for us to rise above all that's inhibiting us, all that's trying to shut down our souls or try to put limitations on us, or anything that's, you know, it be that physical or psychological or any kind of spiritual limitations that are trying to be imposed on us by an outside force. I wanted to share a bit of this article actually by a Jew named Yanky Tauber, and it beautifully expresses this. It really does. And it speaks about Passover, but how Passover is, it kind of fuses the past and the future all into one. So one of the most constricting elements of the human condition is the phenomenon of time, wouldn't you know? Time carries off the past and holds off the future, confining our lives to a temporal sliver of present. But on the first night of Passover, we break the bonds of time, having received a mandate to experience the Exodus as if he himself has come out of Egypt. We recall the Exodus in our minds, verbalize it in the telling of the Haggadah, digest it in the form of matzah and wine. As we pass over the centuries, memory, those faded visages of past that generally constitute our only answer to the tyranny of time, becomes experience, and history is made current and real. Passover is an 8-day festival with 2 opening and 2 closing days of heightened observance and commemoration. While the theme of redemption runs as a current through the entire festival, the first days of Passover focus primarily on our first redemption, our liberation from Egypt 33 centuries ago, while the closing days highlight the final redemption, the future era of divine goodness and perfection heralded by Mashiach, Messiah. Thus, on the latter days of Passover, our transcendence of time enters a new heightened phase. It is one thing to vitalize memory to the point of actual re-experience, but quite another to make real an event that lies in the future, especially an event that has no parallel in the history of man. Yet in the closing hours of Passover, we enter into the world of Mashiach. Having vaulted over millennia of past on the Seder night, we now surmount the blank wall of future to taste the matzah and wine of the ultimate redemption. Oh Lord, to taste the matzah and wine of the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, just think of the glory and the power as you take communion with him, as you're seated with him, fusing the past and the future. Whew. You know, as born again believers in Yeshua, he became our Passover lamb. So when we celebrate Passover in his death and resurrection, we are bridging the past into the future. This is the reality we can live in as born again believers whose lives are now hidden in him. So his victory is our victory. And by his stripes we are healed. We are set free, delivered and begotten by our Father in heaven. We're adopted into his family as sons, and we can be vessels of his sweet presence, carriers of his Holy Spirit of power, and stewards of the eternal mysteries to manifest his glory here on the earth. The keys to our breakthrough is available because his kingdom is at hand. As we choose to remember every time he has come through for us in the past, you know, as we remember and we speak of and we share of these works, they remain a present victorious reality in our minds. And as we then share them from our lips, we speak them, other people can enter into that reality through our creative words and testimonies spoken in faith. Those that know their God shall perform exploits. Are we performing exploits or are we making fast exits? When you see trouble, are you like, I'm out of here? Or are you someone that stands in the boldness of the very lion of the tribe of Judah to roar the truth of God's word, testifying of his faithfulness in the midst of adversity? Oh, Lord. Oh, you know, I remember a bit of a crazy encounter I had a few years back where I looked into the Lord's eyes and that were like torches. And as unbearable and as beautiful as it was, the longer I held that gaze, my eyes also burned with a laser pure light. And I then saw us as believers with light beams coming out of our eyes. It was like a scene from some crazy sci-fi movie. We were like superhumans with like Superman light beams coming out of our eyes. But the Lord showed me that our eyes being filled with light is important, as whenever we looked, we would literally bring his light, his truth. Also, our perceptions would be so purified in that raw blaze of his gaze that we would only see light. We would only be revealing and manifesting his light, and the darkness would flee. There would be nowhere for deceptions and deceit to hide or to lurk. Our gaze needs to be consumed with him so that wherever we look through the fire of his gaze. We will not see adversity in the same light. We will see the world around us differently. Our presence will expose and trigger like never before. A new authority will rest on you as he is looking through your eyes. After this encounter, I would like walk into a shop and the person serving me would just start weeping for no reason and then start apologizing, saying they didn't know what was happening. This happened a few times with believers and unbelievers, just as the love of God and that light just began to reveal stuff in them, and, you know, stuff would come up, and the light of Jesus' gaze can shine through us quite dramatically, leading people to him. On three separate occasions when I was living in Asia, people that I didn't even know would say to me, "What is that? I see like a fire. I see a white fire that is burning right there. I see that fire burning in your heart." One even said, "It makes me feel so scary, but I want to know what it is." So this was, of course, a great way, you know, each time I was able to share about Yeshua, Jesus, and the fire of his pure spirit. This fire was scary to them because it was the fire of his holiness, of being set apart. And it was getting ready to burn up their jolly idols and to lead them out of Egypt. So he's wonderful. He is so glorious. So let's focus on his greatness. Let us remember his marvelous ways. Let our conversations be filled with Christ and his works. Instead of cryptos or Christian celebrities, let us be the ones that are dead to the world and all its allurements, but alive to his purposes and living for an eternal reward. You hold the key to your breakthrough because that is the testimony of what he has already done in your life. The victories, no matter how big or how small, the things that the Lord has done in your life. Now, you might think, well, I don't have any radical testimonies or stories, So in that case, now is the time to start. You can thank God for what he has done in the lives of others that you know of or have heard about, and especially what he has done and is recorded in the scriptures. So many testimonies, you can take hold of them and apply them to your own situation. Take up that sword of the word, wield it with glee, shove it in the face of any demonic or spiritual attack, and know whose you are, for you belong to him. For the God of Israel is your God, and he is faithful. Hallelujah. I just want to take this opportunity to thank so very much all of our partners for Cabin Academy. We really are so grateful and we so appreciate each one of you. And if you would like to become a Cabin Academy partner or just to sow a gift into the ministry, you're welcome to visit the website www.cabinacademy.com. Thank you so much. Blessings and shalom.